29 in the hymn book. We'll be singing several choruses today. God can do anything but fail.
God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He can save, he can keep, he can cleanse, and he will. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Turn the page there. Things are different now. 732.
Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different. Changed, it must be when I gave my heart to Him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened that day when I gave.
I just keep trusting my Lord. 733. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. 736.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing.
Here, 742, when the Lord saved me. 742.
Away, dark
this morning. Father, we thank you so much for a beautiful day. We thank you for the privilege we have to come to be in your house today. We pray that you would guide and direct in all aspects of the services today. We thank you for the Hitchens coming and being with us. We pray that you would be with Brother Bob as he teaches and preaches the word, that we would all receive a blessing and encouragement from it. And we pray also for them both as they minister in song later as well. And give us a great day, and we'll thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Just an announcement. This week, the 2019 calendars will be coming in. Hard to believe. We're just in just ending September and beginning October now. But we already have the new calendars coming out. So next Sunday, you'll be able to grab several. Yes, Sam?
We have 5 left in 2018. Please take them.
Yes. 6.
There's 2 back here. There's 3 up.
All right. So actually, we've had some people come recently that didn't even know we had calendars. And I handed one out already earlier. So if you... You know, if we have some guests that come fairly regularly and you want to let them know they can take one, certainly that's great. And like we always say at the beginning of the year, too, if you have friends that would like at least the pretty pictures that are in there and a good gospel witness at the same time, that would be great. So hopefully they'll be gone before long. So just remember those things for right now. Have a couple other announcements later. Okay. Across the page, He is Able, 744. Cheer up, ye saints of God. 756. Cheer up, ye saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails. So why not trust him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow. 760. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. 760. Very end of the hymn book beyond the index. First is number 810. This is a song based on Isaiah 40, verse 31. So, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait is the name of the song. 810.
They shall bound
let's go across the page and we'll sing His Name is Wonderful. Birthday, and it's Brother Clark Mutchler. His birthday is today. So let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, we do have children's class, so they can be dismissed now to head downstairs. Romans chapter 10, we're still studying that. We're moving on to verse 14 today. Romans chapter 10. Oh, man. Romans chapter 10. If anybody would like to volunteer, we were up to this Sunday, we were looking at verse 13. If anybody, I'll take a couple volunteers if anybody wanted to say that verse. Romans 10, verse 13. Anybody interested? Go ahead, Marge. Just today we are. Amen. Very good. Anyone else? Sam, go ahead. Amen. Good. Cheryl? All right, great. Jim? All right. Okay. It's a blessed verse, amen? Tells us that the Calvinists are wrong, in addition to a lot of other things. All right. Well, let's go ahead and say the whole passage now, Romans 10, starting in verse 8, and we'll go all the way through verse 14, okay? Let's say it together. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? All right. And by the way, when it says preacher there, it does not mean like a pastor of a church. It's talking about any of us who can share the gospel with people. Obviously, nobody's going to hear the word of God if we don't tell them. Okay, Brother Hitchens.
Good to be in God's house today. Good to be saved today. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it, right? Beautiful day, and I see the sun shining. I think we had, at one time, we had, what, 8 Sundays in a row that it rained, something like that. But nice to see the sunshine today. Since we were here last, we took a trip down to see the Ark and the Creation Museum. Very interesting. If you've never seen that, it's well worth seeing. The Ark, they say right now, is the largest wooden object in the world today. $100 million to build it. All wood. And, of course, you know, they say we take a little bit of artistic license because, really, a lot of things are not spelled out in the Bible about it. You know, and so they try to give you some ideas as to what could have been. You know, well, you take that with a grain of salt. But anyhow, it's quite something to see. 510 feet long. It's all based on the long Hebrew cubit, which is 20.4 inches, I think. And so they built it on those dimensions. But we're seeing anyway. I'm sure a lot of critics hate that and despise that. You know, but anyhow, it's something. The testimony, I believe. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. been going through the book of 1 Peter and looking at various things here, all with the heading starting with a B. We talked about beginning the Christian life in chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. We talked about burnishing in the Christian life, chapter 1, 6 through 9. Blessings in the Christian life, chapter 1, 10 through 12. Bracing in the Christian life, and that's chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Now we're up to chapter 2, and building in the Christian life, the first 8 verses of chapter 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I want to bow for prayer. As we pray, let me ask you to pray for Brother Charles Canoy and his family. Brother Canoy sang with us in the Gospel Airs, and his wife went home to be with the Lord this past week. Her funeral was actually yesterday. And so pray for him, pray for his family. She's graduated to glory. But they were married 63 years. And so he would appreciate your prayers, I'm sure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be here today in the house of God again. Thank you, Lord, for all your manifold blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. Most of all, for this wonderful gift of salvation that we have through the precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for the privilege to look into your word today. Thank you for the songs We've just sung, Lord, been a blessing to our hearts. And Lord, now for this time to look into your word. Pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as we consider the word today. And as I mentioned, we do pray for the Kanoi family at the passing of Sister Mary and her graduation to glory. I just pray that you would undertake and give grace and strength to her husband, Brother Charlie, and to the family. And now I pray that you would bless us as we look into your word. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Building in the Christian life. Verse number one says, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. This is, of course, dealing with Christians. And he said, put these things aside. Now, obviously, Christians can be guilty of these things, can't they? I mean, if they couldn't be guilty of these things, we wouldn't have this here, would we? So it's there for a reason. And these things, he said, were to put aside. First of all, malice, you know, ill will towards somebody. And, you know, if we have ill will towards somebody, you know, obviously there has to be a reason for that. And probably because they've done something to us, right?
Stems from bitterness.
Pardon me?
Stems from bitterness.
Yes. And obviously they have done something to us, or at least we perceive they've done something to us. Sometimes it can be in your imagination. Say, so how do you know that? Because it's happened to me. I think I mentioned one time, just broke a pick. Be careful of that. I think I mentioned this one time when my wife and I were in Bible college. There was a fellow on the staff there that for some reason I got the idea that he had it in for me. We were older. I was 25 years old when we went to Bible college. Most of the folks there were, you know, like right out of high school. And so, you know, age-wise, I wasn't too far distant in age, you know, from this fellow I'm talking about, who was on the staff. And for some reason, I had this idea that he had it in for me. And it just seemed like every time I was around him, you know, it just got worse. And so I remember it was on a Saturday morning I was praying. And now I know God doesn't speak in audible voices to us, but it just seemed like God impressed on me, go talk to him right now. So I did. I went and knocked on his office door, told me to come in. And I told him, I said, for some reason, I feel like you have it in for me. And he said, that's the furthest thing from the truth. He said, I think the world of you and your wife. You know what? It was all in my imagination. The whole thing. Yeah, you know, there is something about the imagination that we've got the ability to create scenarios in our mind. And I mean, you know, we've got all kinds of you know, maybe somebody doesn't shake hands with us. Or they look at you in a certain way, or maybe they're having a bad day and they don't smile or something. But, you know, for some reason in our imagination, we can put these things together and build a case, which obviously I did. And all that time, I mean, this went on for a while. All that time, I had these ill feelings toward this guy because I thought he had it in for me. Well, it turned out it was all in my imagination, the whole thing. So, you know, that can happen. Misunderstandings can happen. One time I remember we had a revival meeting. And in the meeting, folks were going to each other and making things right. By the way, that's a good sign. When folks start going to each other and making things right, that's a good sign that God's working, you know. And so this fella came to me and in the meeting, and he said, I was on the staff of the church at that time, and he said to me, I want to ask you to forgive me. He said, I've had aught against you ever since that time you told me not to go into the bookstore. I said, what? He said, that time you told me not to go into the bookstore. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't know. I don't remember anything like that. But obviously, he thought I did. And he had been had this ill will all this time. And I said, look, if I did, I'm sorry if I did something. I don't remember it. I certainly didn't intend to do anything, you know. So malice can come about either because somebody has done something to hurt us, or at least we perceive they've done something to hurt us, and we develop this ill will towards them. I remember some years ago there was a lady that started coming to our church for a while, and then she quit coming. And so we visited her, and you know, we asked her why she quit coming. She said, well, there's somebody there in church that I don't like. So I'm not coming back. Well, probably somebody you don't like in the grocery store, too. Right? Well, we go to the grocery store. But somebody has done something to us to hurt us, or at least we perceive somebody has done something to hurt us. And we develop this malice, you know, towards them. Well, Peter says here, lay those things aside. And really, we ought to get it straightened out, shouldn't we? Look back to Matthew chapter 18, I guess it is. If there's a problem, by the way, problems do arise between Christians. That's because we're not glorified. By the way, they're always going to arise between Christians until the Lord comes back. But there is a way to deal with those things. Matthew chapter number 18. Look at verse number 15. This is Jesus speaking here, Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Let's think about this. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, somebody does something against you. Now, what did Jesus say about that? He said, go and tell him his fault. You know what we do a lot of times? Well, it's up to him to come to me. That is not what this says, is it? Because we're supposed to go to them. Unfortunately, what we do a lot of times, we tell somebody else about it and get some folks on our side. Instead of going to that person like it says and trying to get the thing straightened out. If we go to that person, notice he says here, if he shall hear thee, he may not, right? Based on that, he may not. But he said, if he does, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Notice that you have settled it between the two of you. That's really the way it should be, shouldn't it? Should be between two. Settle problems at the lowest level. Settle problems at the lowest level. If you can get it settled between you and the other person, that's taken care of right there, isn't it? Doesn't need to go any further. And nobody else needs to know about it, do they? In light of that. I remember one time years ago, there was a fella in our church that did something really against my wife and I. And we got it settled between us. It didn't have to go before the church. Nobody else needed to know about it. We got it settled there. That's the way it should be, right? And if you can settle it there, it doesn't have to go any further. And so, notice that instruction. If your brother trespasses against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Between thee and him alone. Notice that? Between the two of you. And if he shall hear thee. Now, thing is, he may not hear you, right? For whatever reason, he may not. And, you know, we can't change somebody else's heart, can we? Or we can't change somebody else's mind. I mean, only God can do that. And so if a person, you know, refuses to hear you in that light, really there's nothing you can do about that. I'll just put it in God's hands, you know, and trust him to work. Because you can't change their mind. Comments or questions before we move along here? Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Which is not very popular in this day and time. But it's biblical. Church discipline is biblical, isn't it? A lot of churches, for whatever reason, they are afraid to practice it. Well, afraid of lawsuits, for one thing. And that happens, doesn't it? But it certainly is biblical. So, in the first case, in verse 15, if you go to your brother, like it says, talk to him, try to get things straightened out between you. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You got it settled right there, right? And nobody else needs to know about it. Doesn't have to go any further because you got it settled there. Okay. Now, I said, if he shall hear thee, which means he may not. So what do you do then? Verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Two or three witnesses. That's in the case he won't listen to you. I remember a situation in church where we did that and the individual would not listen. So we have to go to the next step in that case. But notice it has to be two or three witnesses. One is not enough. Okay? Next step, if that person won't respond, verse number 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, that's the other witnesses now, tell it to the church. Then you bring it before the church. I can remember some cases. I don't know what you all have been through here, but I can remember some cases of church discipline that we've carried out over the years. We had a case of adultery one time we had to deal with. We had a case where some money was stolen a number of years ago that we had to deal with, which could have been a criminal matter had we gone that far, but we didn't really go to the police about it. But we had to deal with the situation in church discipline. And again, these things are not popular, are they? And they're painful. Let's face it, they are painful. You know, the biblical example would be in 1 Corinthians 5. The man who was living, you know, in immorality with his stepmother. And the Apostle Paul dealt with that situation. In fact, let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This would be the classic case, I think, of, you know, of the practice of church discipline. 1 Corinthians 5, it says it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. In other words, everybody knew about this. You know, this is not something done without anybody knowing it. A lot of folks knew about this, reported commonly, that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is as not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. It's his stepmother. Said, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily am as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Wow, that is powerful language, isn't it? Turn that man out, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the good things about all this, as you read on further, this man got right. They obviously did this. They have obviously exercised discipline, turned him out of church. But he got right. And then later Paul said, receive him back into the fellowship. Now, in exercising church discipline, you hope that that's what's going to happen. You're hoping and praying that that's what's going to happen. The person will get right and he'll come back. But that's not the primary reason for it. The primary reason for it is to maintain purity in the church. That's the main reason for it, because God wants a pure church. And in order to maintain a pure church, you might have to take some drastic moves sometimes, right? Again, things that are not popular, but things that are necessary when they crop up. So that's the example that we have there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, of church discipline being exercised. Let's go back to Matthew chapter number 18. Again, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay, you settle it between the two of you, if possible. But if he won't listen, then you go to the next step in verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Next step, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. You bring it before the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let them be unto him as a heathen man and a publican. So you turn him out. Now, again, there is the hope and the prayer that they'll get right with God and come back. And by the way, a lot of times that happens. Lots of times that happens. And that's the ideal thing, isn't it? We had a fellow that embezzled money. Actually, he was a treasurer of our Bible college. And he embezzled $18,000 from the college. He had a gambling problem that nobody knew about. And the way it turned out was that his wife was running our bookstore. And one day she got a call from a credit card company, and this credit card company said, you are at your limit on this particular card. And she said, we don't have that card. And they said, oh, yes, you do. Well, come to find out, he had been taking out credit cards and forging her name, I guess, and charging in his gambling problem. And I guess when the thing got really bad, he started embezzling money from the account, college account. So that's how it came to light. $18,000. Well, of course, you know, we had to exercise church discipline. Now, let me say this. He repented of his sin, confessed his sin. He went before the church and confessed it. And he also said, I will pay back every penny, which he did. He paid it all back. Now, we could have gone to the police about that. A lot of folks think we should have, but we didn't. We didn't go to the police. And he paid it all back. He and his family later moved to another state. But we did have to exercise church discipline in that situation. And so, look, these things happen. And by the way, just because folks are saved doesn't mean they don't have problems. They do. And, you know, we are sinners saved by grace. And unfortunately, you know, Christians sin. And here's a method for dealing with it as it's set forth here in Matthew chapter 18, in a case of a brother that sins. So, any comments or questions before we move along here? Again, this is one of those things you hope you never have to do, right? No church, I think, wants to go through something like this. You don't want to go through that. But sometimes you have to. And the main reason for the discipline is to maintain the purity of the church. Let me just throw in one more. I know we're running out of time. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. Remember, people were God was working in hearts. People were selling their property and they were bringing the money and giving it to the church. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money, aren't we? But God had so impressed on their, nobody told them you had to do this. God impressed on their heart to do that. They wanted to do it. And so they're selling property and bringing the proceeds to the church. Well, Ananias and Sapphira saw that and they saw, you know, the blessings of that. And so they wanted to get in on it, but they also wanted to keep back part of the price, didn't they? And so they sold a piece of property and they pretended like they were going to give it all the proceeds, but they're holding back part of it. Now, nobody said that they had to give it all, did they? They could have given whatever they wanted to give. They could have given 10%, they could have given 50%, 75%, or whatever. The sin was they were pretending to give it all when they're actually holding back some. And so, you know, when Ananias came before Peter, and I really think he was expecting that Peter was going to say, bless your heart, Ananias. Bless your heart for what you're doing. But that's not what he heard, was it? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Wow. He wasn't expecting that. And then he dropped down dead. A few hours later, his wife came in and said the same thing, and she dropped down dead. Said they wound him up, carried him out and burned him. Later on it says, no man durst join himself to that church. I guarantee you, the word got around. You better be careful joining that church. Maintaining purity. God wants a pure church. Now, look, like I said, we're sinners. We're saved by grace. We're sinners. But we have a way to deal with our sin, don't we? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we really have to appropriate that thing constantly because the old nature that we have is a sin generator. It's a sin generator. Thoughts that crop up, wrong desires, maybe wrong words sometimes, wrong actions. And so we have to constantly pray and ask God to cleanse us and forgive us to stay clean as a Christian. And so God wants us to be clean as Christians, and He wants a clean church. He wants a pure church. And if we won't do it, He will do it. He will step in to do it, won't He? Look at this one. This one more, and then we'll stop. And this is what we read when we have communion. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. This is the passage we read, you know, during the time of communion. Let's see. Let's start at verse number 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now look at verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, many have died. He said, for this cause. Because they didn't stay pure. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Judging ourselves. We know when things are right or things are wrong, don't we? We know. And if sin creeps in and we won't deal with it, then we're heading down a bad road, aren't we? What we should do when sin creeps in is acknowledge it, confess it, forsake it, trust God to cleanse us, and go on, live for Him. But if we don't deal with it and we permit it, then we begin to excuse it. Well, it's not really so bad. I can handle this. Oh, no. We don't handle sin. Sin handles us. It will handle us. And everybody here knows somebody that saved people that found themselves in the grip of sin and it ruined their life. Everybody knows that. We all know folks like that, don't we? So He said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, we know something's wrong and we say, Lord, I know this is wrong. I know Your word says it's wrong. I'm acknowledging it right now and I'm confessing it. That's judging ourselves. Asking Him to cleanse us and we go on and serve Him. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now look at the rest of it. But verse 32, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So in other words, if we won't deal with it, God's going to step in and deal with it. Woodshed experiences. Remember those? Anybody had? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but remember going to the woodshed and our parents dealt with us? Well, that's what God does with His children if we don't judge ourselves. And that's not pleasant, is it? That is definitely not pleasant. But again, it's for the sake of purity, isn't it? God deals with us in chastening for the sake of purity. He wants us to be pure, and he wants churches to be pure. He wants a pure church. And make no mistake about it, he's going to do that. We could spend a lot of time talking on this. But anyhow, let's stop for there, and we'll pick up again next time in 1 Peter. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes the word and applies it to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the Christian you would have us to be. Lord, we know that you love us. We know you're concerned about us. And we know you got a plan for our lives. And Lord, help us, I pray, that we'll fit into that plan and be obedient to your word, Lord, that we would be the Christian you would have us to be. I pray now that you bless us. We go in the morning service. Bless the singing. Then bless the preaching of the word. And again, have your will and way, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake we ask it. Amen.